This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Well, someone who's not missing the Giant game is our very good friend, always there for us when we need him, Sal yes. Palantonio. He's covering this game, and this leads us to the Big Blue Report brought to you by Jackpocket. Sal, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. Thank you for coming on. I'm fascinated by this game. I mean, you've seen so many games. You watch films of all the games. Are you as fascinated and undecided about this game as we are?
Totally fascinated. Totally undecided. Thanks for having me on the show, Michael, and Don and Peter. It's great to be with you guys. I'm totally undecided about this game. I think there's a couple of developments that we've had recently, just in the last couple of days, that make me even more undecided. Based on the film study that we did for the matchup show, I just got out of NFL Films, Michael, and we just taped the matchup show. And Greg Cosell and Darius Butler break down Giants-Vikings. And it's difficult to pick this game. I think it's going to help the Giants to get Adoree Jackson back, for sure. You go back to week 16, Jefferson had, 12 catches on 14 targets. Hockenson, the tight end, had 13 catches on 16 targets, 244, three touches. I mean, in this game, if Martindale, if Wink is not bracket coveraging the tight end and Jefferson and no free releases, and flat-out double-team Jefferson, they're going to have the same kind of problem that they had in week 16.
Now, the conclusion people jump to, Sal, is that, well, look how close the Week 16 matchup was, and they get McKinney and Jackson back, so that might put the Giants over the top. Is that logical, or is there something flawed to that thinking?
No, I think that's logical. The Vikings are also getting Garrett Bradbury back. He's their best offensive lineman. He wasn't in the game in Week 16. He's their starting center, so that's going to give them some extra protection. You know, they blitzed Kirk Cousins to very little effect. Three touchdown passes, no picks for Kirk Cousins in that game. Listen, the Giants were winning the game late, and then things sort of fell apart in the fourth quarter. I thought Mike Kafka, you know, channeled his inner Andy Reid a little too much in getting away from the running game, especially early in the game, because they could gash him. You know, you're playing a team that was light in the box most of the game. You saw that late touchdown run by Saquon Barkley. To me, this game comes down to Saquon, and more Saquon. I mean, I would get those passing attempts down. He had 42 in week 16, Daniel Jones, and only 14 rushes for Saquon. No good. You got to get the rushing attempts up, and you got to get the pass attempts down.
Now, obviously, here we've been spending a lot of our time talking about Daniel Jones and what this game means for him, Sal, but there's another quarterback here this game is pretty important for, too. I mean, you don't get opportunities like this every season with an offense this potent, and Cousins has it again, as he did 3 years ago. Last time he had Stephon Diggs and Thielen. Now he's still got Thielen, but he's got Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson. How big is this potential playoff run for Cousins, really sort of establishing a legacy of some sort?
Well, don't you think that there's more pressure on Cousins than Jones? I do.
Absolutely.
Cousins is playing at home. You know, he's got the best wide receiver in the league. He's got a tight end who they traded for who's coming to his own in Kevin O'Connell's offense. And again, he's at home. And Daniel Jones is playing in his first playoff game. But I think Daniel Jones in this game, I would take the ball out of Daniel Jones's hand, but only put it in his hands when absolutely necessary. Not because I'm scared of Daniel Jones, but I think this team, the way Ed Donatell plays defense for the Vikings, where they have the middle open and the box is light most of the time, I think this Giants team can run on the Vikings very successfully, control the clock, control the line of scrimmage, control field position. Hey, what does that sound like to you? That sounds like 86 all over again. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what you got to do with this team, I think.
We're talking with Sal Palantonio. He's covering the Giants and the Vikings game for ESPN, and he's joining us now. I think the Giants and Wink Martindale, correct me if you think I'm wrong, I think they have a little bit of a conundrum. Martindale likes to blitz, and as you mentioned, at the beginning of the year, that was very effective against the Vikings. At the end of the year, it was not effective at all. And I look at one of the keys to the game. The Giants' front has to get to the quarterback without blitzing. What's your take on that? You think he's going to continue to blitz as much?
Yes, I do. You know, we all know the numbers. He was the only defensive coordinator to call the blitz over 40% of the time this year. The numbers are the numbers. But, you know, Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams are both playing at a very high level. I'll say it again. I think the Vikings are getting a big addition back in Garrett Bradbury, their starting center. So that's going to make a difference for the Vikings. I think he's going to blitz. I think he'll have to back off a little bit because they will be successful if they leave Jefferson and Hockenson in one-on-one situations downfield.
Now, how do you read into how close their wins have been, Sal? You know, 6.38 margin of victory, 16.25 margin of defeat. Is it fool's gold, or is it, hey, this team knows how to win close games?
I think they do. I think both teams are pretty good in winning close games. You know, the thing about the Giants is they really broke bad. Rarely have they broke bad. The Vikings have broken bad. So, you know, the Giants know how to score and close games down the stretch, but they haven't scored big points, right? I think they've only got 30 points in one of their 9 victories. And the Vikings have scored big. So I think you got to play small ball. I think you got to take the air out of the ball. And then, of course, you know, without saying it, but we'll say it anyway, you can't have 2 turnovers in a game. And you can't have 9 penalties like they did in Week 16. But even with all that, right, even with all that, only 14 rushes for Saquon, and 2 turnovers and 9 penalties, it took what Wink Martindale said was a buzzer beater from half court in order to beat the Giants in their home stadium. So, again, going back to Michael's Open, fascinated, really can't pick this game. Tough to pick.
Now, we've spent so much of this week talking about this, and you've seen so much football and so many players. And I've never seen such a flip-flop on a player as I've seen on Daniel Jones. Now, He's the greatest. I mean, it's the Giants didn't even give him a 5th-year option year, and they're going to have to pay for that if they want him. And Lawrence Tynes has come out and said, if his agent doesn't get him $40 million a year, he should be fired. Sal, where do you place this guy? What is Daniel Jones?
Well, you know, he had a completion percentage of 67%, 67.2%. Mm-hmm. That was tops in the division. Okay, so that number is very, very important. His turnovers were way, way down, career low. His rushing yards and rushing attempts and rushing touchdowns, career high. So the numbers are the numbers. And I think coaching matters in the NFL. It's one of the things that we preach. That's one of the things that Ron Jaworski taught me very early on when I first started hosting the show. And that I think what Greg Cosell shows over and over again when you're looking at quarterbacks, coaching matters. And coaching has really helped Brian Daboll has really helped coach up Daniel Jones, specifically in 2 areas. 1, you're not going to turn the ball over. That's done. I don't want to see that anymore. And it took that coach to get in that player's face and make a stand. And 2, with Kafka does a really good job of design throws to get that completion percentage up. And so you have productivity without the bad plays. And so from a football standpoint, it's been like turning on a light switch. But the thing about Daniel Jones, I was there the day he was drafted. I've interviewed him 6 times. He's a real leader. And he doesn't say it by opening his mouth. He just shows up. He's tough. He can take a hit. And he wants to be on the field. He's only 1 of 8 quarterbacks this year has made all the starts, unless it was a DNP when the coach sat him in the last week. So he's available. He's tough. He's smart. He's adaptable. He's obviously coachable. He's going to make a lot of money, Michael. He's going to make a lot of money.
So do you believe, Sal, that let's say the Giants don't ink him and he becomes a free agent, I don't think it'll get to that, that there would be a feeding frenzy to get him?
Well, that's a good question, and you put it at feeding frenzy, right? So there's going to be some guys out there. Mm-hmm. Derek Carr is going to be out there. Jimmy Garoppolo most likely will be out there for sure. So, I mean, there's going to be some guys out there. Is Daniel Jones in Derek Carr's category? Absolutely. No question about it. But I don't think it'll get to that. I think the Giants are going to bring him back. You know, he looks like a New York Giants quarterback to me.
And what do you do with Saquon?
Good question. Let's see what happens in the next couple of games. You know, Giants pull this off. Road victory, Sunday afternoon, come back, and then play what? They play the Birds, right? They play Philly, in Philly, right?
Yeah.
Most likely. Yeah. Okay. We'll talk next week. That'll be a ball game right there.
That'll be probably
Saturday night in South Philly. Now that's a lot of fun. Down for that one.
Well, it'll be interesting because if Daniel Jones is aiming for the sky contract-wise, Sal, then they're going to have to just franchise him. That'll get him $32 million, and then you got to deal with Barkley. Otherwise, you can franchise Barkley. And we love Saquon Barkley. We just wondered about the advisability of taking him with the second pick. So it's a tough call, as you said. I guess a lot depends on how these guys perform in these big games.
Yeah, this is a game. So right here, right now. But it's not only how they perform, but how they're utilized.
Right.
So I'm going to advocate it again. This game was built for Saquon Barkley, without a doubt in my mind. That complementary football right there, if you utilize Saquon the right way, that'll keep the defense fresh. That'll keep Daniel Jones in third and short instead of third and long. Though it starts with Saquon Barkley. And you know what, Michael? Stay committed to it. You know, it won't happen automatically in the first quarter, but don't go away from it. And this is the DNA of Kafka, right? He comes out of Andy Reid. I saw it for a million years with Andy Reid down in Philly. I saw it with Doug Peterson. These coaches who come through the Andy Reid coaching tree will stay aggressive in the passing game, to the detriment of time of possession and what happens on defense. And that can't happen in this game. To me, this is Kafka and Saquon. That's it, right there. So that's where it starts, and everybody fills in the blanks.
You know what happens sometimes, Sal, and it's not an excuse, but I could see where it happens, that if you're talking about Elliott, if you're talking about Henry, you know, there's no game. So let's stick with it. But sometimes Barkley gives you that -6. That sometimes can scare off an offensive coordinator, put you in those third and longs. Do you find yourself getting away from Barkley because sometimes the misses are a lot of yardage behind the line of scrimmage?
Well, I think, Don, you got to look specifically. Let's look specifically at this matchup, and let's not, you know, sort of hypothesize about what if. Right? In this matchup, when you look at what happened in Week 16, Ed Donatell, the defensive coordinator, didn't have a very heavy box. In other words, he didn't have a lot of players sniffing around the line of scrimmage. He's a too high safety guy. You know what? He doesn't want to give up the big play, but he will give up a lot of underneath routes. He'll give up a lot of passes between the hashes, and you can run on him. So run on him.
All right, before we let you go, Sal, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. Let's put Sal Palantonio as the GM of the Jets. Who's your quarterback next year? Who are you going to get? Derek Carr. Why him?
100%. I like Derek Carr. He's tough. He's a real leader on the field. His numbers were not that bad this year, Michael.
Yep,
I agree. He was the fall guy. Derek Carr, 100%. You can trust him. He's a good locker room guy. Gets along with players. Gets along with coaches. Family man. Tough. Takes a hit. Derek Carr, 100%.
And also, Sal, went through so much adversity on and off the field in Vegas. I agree with you.
There's going to be a big market for Derek Carr. Baltimore, watch out. Baltimore may be interested. If the things don't work out with Lamar Jackson. Now, that's a big difference in running that offense from what they run it. You know, they got a Maserati there. They're going to have to play action pass with Derek Carr. But, you know, a lot of people are down on the Jets coaching staff, specifically Mike LaFleur. I get it. And Robert Saleh, I get it. But when Breece Hall went down and Vera Tucker went down, those were killer injuries to that offense. And if they get that fixed, the offensive line, and can run the football, and they get a play-action pass quarterback like Derek Carr, you know, with that defense, the top three right now, points allowed, yards allowed, top three, should make the playoffs next year.
So if Carr ends up slipping through their fingers and goes to Baltimore, would you then pivot and try to get Jackson?
You know, I got to find out what's going on with his knee.
Yeah, it's not nothing, right? There's clearly something up there.
Now, I'm curious with the people that you speak to around the league, Sal. Does anybody think that Zach Wilson could end up being a good quarterback?
Definitely a major work in progress, Michael. I've watched a lot of him on tape and seen a lot of him in action this year. A bunch of home games with the Jets. Saw that disaster in New England. Then the post-game press conference, I was standing right next to Costello and the rest of them, everybody, Rich Cimini. You know, we were just floored when it happened.
Right.
So I think the locker room was floored. Everybody was, you know, you can just see the frustration building during the game, you know, the histrionics on the field with Garrett Wilson and everybody else. So, I mean, but coaching matters up to a point. You got to have somebody who's willing to absorb it.
Great stuff, Sal. We love having you on. Enjoy the game on Sunday. We're going to be watching. It should be fun.
Oh, yeah. Great game. Fantastic. Fascinating. Without a doubt. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, man.
Of course. Be well. That's the great Sal Palantonio, and that's a big
He brought it
report.
Today. I'll tell you right now, he brought it.
Because he sees it differently than the average person does. Like, he brought up some really good points. Not just, I'll run Saquon because it's Saquon, but reasons why. They're not going to put eight guys in the box. They're going to give you some of those 2 or 3 yard gains, because that's what scares me, Michael, right? You've always said it from the day Barkley was drafted. You know, what do you do when it's like a -8 because he tries to make something happen? Like, it's not that straight ahead runner that's going to get 1 or 2. It's not working. Let's stick with it. You end up getting that he's 3rd and longs because of it, and then you start to get mistakes and then get scared off of using him. But it didn't sound like the Vikings defense is going to take advantage of something like that, and there will be yards to get.
Well, that is the Big Blue Report brought to you by Jackpocket. Now, Powerball is $404 million now, sure. And Mega Millions is $1.35 billion. Oh, yeah. Billion with a B. So play official state lottery games on your phone with Jackpocket. Download the Jackpocket app and get your first ticket free using code ESPN. You must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for full terms of service. Also, some news, Diana Rossini, our very own, is reporting that Sean McVay has told the Rams front office that he is returning as the head coach, which kind of makes sense, guys, because if you think about it, I think he missed his window for a network job. The ESPN gig was open. The Amazon gig was open. So there were two big slots there where he could have gotten one of the big jobs. Now they're filled. Aikman's now with us, and Tom Brady's going to join Fox. So, I mean, where would McVay go other than a studio show? And I don't think he's going to get paid the money from a studio show that he gets paid being the coach of the Rams. The only problem with McVay is, you're probably thinking this, they might have a couple of really bad years because they sold could. Their future to win the Super Bowl. And now they're paying the price.
I just also didn't understand, like, why he was so desirable for TV. I mean, he's not John Madden. He wasn't like a national figure that everyone was in love with. I just found it weird. Like, I wish him the best either way, but I just didn't get it.
I think he'd be good on TV, Peter. He's a good-looking guy. He has an identity memory about things.
You don't see them, though. I mean,
Yeah, it's weird. I apparently have no idea what it takes, like what executives look at that makes it work.
Well, you don't talk to executives. You watch hockey on your iPhone.
No, but...
Sorry.
No, but again, Peter, like, oh, he's a good-looking guy. What do you see him for? Maybe 4 minutes out of the entire broadcast?
Maybe.
All right? Yeah, he knows the game, but is he immensely popular? Are people going to watch because of him? Like, I don't get what the cachet is for some of these guys.
And
they
I
got it completely wrong on Breeze, right? They completely whiffed on that one.
I also find him like kind of hard to listen to. I don't enjoy hearing him talk even.
Yeah, he doesn't have a soothing voice at all. It's not yeah, you know, I don't like even the I still question the Garrett hiring. Like what's the good idea about that? Cowboy fans hated him, Giant fans hated him. Those are two of the most passionate fan bases in the sport. Like so why is he on television?
I would love for the commies to find a way to get him out of LA.
Commies. Interesting.
Get him back. I mean, listen, we lost him and Shanahan. They're both great. I'll take either one back. Please.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm going to say something which might sound hyperbolic, but I think that Palantonio, right, Sal Palantonio, might have leapt into the Steve Young class with that appearance. That's how good he was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, for one spot, you know, we don't know
right.
if he'd have the consistency of the great Steve Young or Jeff Passan, but that's a good spot.
Now, he brought it. He brought some ruckus. There's no doubt about it. Now, I did say I wanted – this is important. I did say earlier in the program, because a lot of things were said on the show this week. A lot of – in the last week, Don, going back to a week ago today.
Oh.
A lot of things have been said on the program that have changed the way some people think forever.
Been a rough couple of days for the case, sir.
And, yeah, exactly. And it continued again yesterday when we had the conversation about Rocky. So the second I sat down to dinner with my beautiful betrothed, remember I said to you guys, I don't think she's really seen Rocky like that. And Rocky III was starting, Don, right okay. from the beginning. You know, when they show the end of his win at the end of two, right? And so I got to watch Rocky III from the very beginning. And I would
very
like to,
close to my favorite.
I would like to apologize for what I said yesterday. I believe I referred to it as silly. Like the Thunder Lips part, the Clubber Lang, you know, Mr. T's acting. And I kind of always thought of it in some way as like, you know, they got these guest stars and it had like all this hoopla. It's just a wonderful movie.
Oh, delightful.
I forgot.
And Sly never looked better.
Oh, my God. Sly looks unbelievable. The hair. He has a 12-pack. He's unbelievable. But I to this day, I wept last night. Wept in bed listening to Rocky do the mourner's Kaddish when Mick dies. Like hearing Rocky deliver the Jewish death prayer as Mickey's laying there. Oh my God. It's damn good. And you forget, Don, him and Apollo aren't really close yet. They start being close.
Right.
It's a wonderful film. I apologize. It's right up there near the top. It's tremendous.
Now, what I'm curious about, Peter, does Natalie realize that Rocky's not a service boxer?
Hey, yo, Rocco! I mean, listen, they do. Rocky is sort of named after Rocky.
Wow. I have to thank the over 1,700 ESPN New York listeners who played Cover 5 this football season. Each week, you pick five games against the spread, and the results, they are in. The grand prize of $1,000 went to Nate from Hoboken, who won by a landslide, nearly 40 points above the rest. Gordon Damer led the way for the ESPN personalities, coming in at 94th place. Now, I've got to be honest. I was very, very vigilant about making my picks, but I didn't make picks the last 4 weeks.
Really? I missed the last week.
I was embarrassed that I didn't do it. But I wasn't doing great anyway. I think it was you were second, I was third, I think.
You don't know have any stats for us, just our standings?
Well, I dropped down to almost the bottom. I didn't make any picks for the last 4 weeks.
And what happened to Andrew? Do we know?
Andrew who?
Oh, well, I guess you've moved on.
Well, listen, you think he was joking?
Gundling.
What do you mean, what happened to him?
No, he was crushing it in the picks.
Well, who knows? I don't care about him anymore. Stay tuned for news on the next Cover 5.
It's too bad because he checked in on you yesterday, man.
Right here on ESPN New York. True. Did he?
He reached out to me.
What did he say? How's Michael doing?
He said, hey. He didn't say, how's Michael? He wasn't worried about you, but he said, hey, a lot of stuff going on this week. How's everything going over there?
Everything's going great. Couldn't be better.
That's all I said. I left it just like that. And I said, thanks for reaching out. Bye.
But when I went to my Cover 5 to see where I finished, because the season was over, I couldn't get in. It was done. The league was gone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, are you serious?
Mm-hmm. That's terrible.
That's not right.
I wonder if I would have been able to beat Gordon had I not missed that 1 week.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Chris and Bethpage. Chris.
Hey, guys. Michael, you were the first person I ever called. I called WFUV back in the early 80s, maybe the late 70s. You were the first person I ever spoke to.
Did you see the talent? Did you hear it?
No.
I knew it.
Tell.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Nobody could tell,
Chris.
Nobody could tell.
No, I did. It was between you and Bart Pasterner, who I thought was going to be the big breakout star.
You know what? Bart Pasterner, for those that don't know, was so good on the air in college. I thought he was going to be a huge star. Now, he's had a really consistent career in a small town in Connecticut, I believe. But he didn't break out, like you said, Chris. I was surprised. He was so good.
He was. Yep. Yeah, but that was a great Mike Breen. Anyhow, I could go on and on. I love those days of FUB, really. Tremendous.
Thank you.
Anyhow, guys, I have to chime in. I'm probably as big a Giant fan as Rothenberg, if you can believe it. You know, I'm 60 years old, season ticket holder, gone forever. And anyhow, this is the way I think most of myself and Giant fans have felt most of the year. We always like Daniel Jones. We always thought he could be something, okay? No doubt. I have a couple friends who are like, nah, get rid of him. Let's move on. But for the most part, this is the key, and this is why he's going to get big money. You guys don't bring this up. The guy is 25 years old. Think about that. 25 years old. He's 20 years younger than Brady.
And he's younger than Stetson Bennett.
Right. So when people like other fans call you up, Giant fans, and are saying how much, you know, he's going to get paid and this and that. And then you guys immediately go to, like, he's not Pat Mahomes. Believe me, no one's saying the guy's Patrick Mahomes. And as far as being a top 10, I want you to reel off all the top 10 quarterbacks that are better than him that are under the age of, let's say, I'll give you 26 years old. I could probably name five, but he's definitely top 10.
That's fair, but, Chris, we're not doing top 10 of 26 and under. We're doing we did the math, like, what, 2 weeks ago? We had him at 14, 15.
Right, but what I think Giant fans are looking at, and I mentioned it at the time, he's not 14 if you're giving a contract on what you think he is going to break out as. Like the caller said, he's still very young, second year with Dable, get him some weapons that they believe that he can clearly then be in the top 10. Hey, you know, we all clearly had Derek Carr ahead of him. I would kind of hedge my bets a little bit. I wasn't 100% sure. And you heard Sal say he's right there. He's right there with Derek Carr. So, you know, I think you can make an argument that if given the right weapons, another year older, another year with this coaching staff, that when you get the first year of the new contract you give him, he could be 9 or 10 on the list of the best quarterbacks in football.
Let's go to Big D in Greenwich. Big D.
Hey, how you doing, Michael?
Good. How are you?
Fellow Greenwich guy, yeah. Back to that guy, Gentleman Sal, I was on earlier.
Yes.
Valentone.
That guy is right on, boy.
Yeah, sure.
He's right on. He's
about
not
what?
Steve Young, but he's right on. He was great.
He was good.
That guy, Sal.
I know Steve Young since 16 years old. I coached him in basketball.
Oh, really?
There is no one better than Steve Young.
Was he a nice guy as a kid?
Pardon me?
Was he a nice guy as a kid?
Fantastic.
Yeah?
The hardest working dude you ever saw on a basketball court. I coached him in basketball. aggressive, strong, intelligent, reliable. Steve was right on, boy. And is he, like, one of the great points in your show is having him. First of all, you three guys are dynamite. I think the world of you.
Thank you,
man. You know, just keep up the good work. I've seen you on the Avenue shopping, Michael. I've seen you.
Please stop me and say hello.
Yeah, no, you guys are dynamite. Keep it up. Peter, you're a future absolute superstar in the industry.
Oh, wow. Did I mention earlier in this call how much I like you?
No, but you are an absolute future superstar. Michael and Don already are. You are going to be the one to take over. Wow. In years to come, you're going to be number one.
Wow, thank you. Wow.
That is something.
But, Michael, keep it up with Steve Young and keep that guy Sal coming. And wow. Final statement?
Yep.
Daniel Jones is a good quarterback. Hang in there, guys.
Thank you, man.
That's the right way to say it. He's a good quarterback.
I was going to say the same thing. He said a lot of things that were smart there, but he closed it out with the smartest. Daniel Jones is a good quarterback. Could he be great? Yes, he absolutely could be great. I think I love Daniel Jones at natural arm strength. Like, I think he has a naturally good arm. I think he's actually pretty accurate, too. And obviously the running game's strong. We just haven't seen anything special yet. Like, that's the only piece, right, Dom? Like, it's hard for me to say a quarterback is worthy of a huge sum of money when I haven't seen that magical performance at least once. Do I think it could be in him? Sure. But can you point to the game, Don, where you just went, wow, we got the guy?
Well, you know, what's interesting is the game that I was the most impressed with in his career is the one that cost them Chase Young.
Yeah, of course. Against the Commies.
Five touchdown passes, a touchdown in overtime. I just think you needed somebody to bring it out. You need some weapons. I think there's something there. But unfortunately, can we all agree? I think this is what the landing spot. We think he's a good quarterback. In order to keep him, they're probably going to have to pay him more than he's worth. And the question is how much more? Because, no, he's not Patrick Mahomes. But when you start throwing $40 million a year out, guess what? He's in the room with him. And that's when it gets a little uncomfortable.
Hey, this season marks the 50th anniversary of New York Islanders hockey. Now, to help celebrate, we're giving away tickets to the January 18th matchup against the Boston Bruins at UBS Arena. Now, when is the 18th? Let's see. It is Wednesday. I'd like to go to that game.
Wait. Oh, wow. Maybe you should.
Treat yourself. It's a great building.
Peter? I love UBS. You know how I feel about UBS.
You want to go? I mean, we were invited by Ledecky to the owner's box.
Wait, who do you say is playing again?
The Bruins.
Yeah, come on.
It's a hell of a game.
Think about it, my friend. We don't hang out enough.
I would like that.
And we'll press the flesh with fans. We love the fans.
Love the people.
Yeah. I'll wear my Islanders jersey.
Can I go?
You want to go? You never do anything with us.
Can I join?
Well, stand by. I got to check the schedule.
He's asking Nancy if he has permission.
Well, no, I got to check the schedule. This Wednesday.
Yeah,
that's I'm true. Free.
Let's do it.
I'm free. Well, you know, if we're going to be doing that, then why don't we get set up and do the show from there?
Well, see, now we're
so we're not getting all wacky trying to get there for the 7:30 start on the air till 7. Let's be like gentlemen. Let's call the Islanders. Let's do a show from the gorgeous arena and then.
Do we really want to do a show with the? I mean, it's annoying when you have the constant pounding behind.
No,
you.
No. How about this? I believe Ledecky and the powers that be at UBS are so great, Michael. Mm-hmm. I bet they'd set us up on a beautiful concourse so we're not inside the arena like that. And then we see the fans as they're pouring in, watching the K-Show live. We could pull this together in 5 days. Someone get Troy Jefferson on the phone. Make this happen.
And we've got to coordinate with Yes as well. They need to get the cameras.
Trust me. Hold on. I'm talking to Greek right now. Yep. Uh-huh. No, they can be there.
Greek's handicapping some horses right now. Well, anyway, to enter, download the free ESPN New York app, scroll down to contests, and submit your entry. It's brought to you by the New York Islanders. Join in on the fun this season by grabbing your tickets at NewYorkIslanders.com. For full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com. So, Mr. Ledecky, if you're listening, you said you are. We want to go to the game on Wednesday. The three of us.
Greek says, let's do it.
Yeah, I just got the same thing. Let's do it. Remote.
So did I.
Wow.
That'd be cool, man.
So let me ask you this.
Who's going to shut it down? Yeah, so who's going to shut it down? I'm predicting...
You know what I would like to do, too? If we're going,
yeah.
Don't you think that Rick DiPietro should be there with us?
Of course he should. Now, here's the thing. I'm predicting, Don, within 60 to 120 seconds from now, we'll receive a text message from John Winthrop,
and can do that.
And or Ryan Hurley saying, you know, there's other things you got to think about here. There's other things. Blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, if it was any other day, they'd be telling me, you know, you guys got to get out more in the community. You got to be there. We have an idea right off the top of our head. Boom, let's do it.
I want to see UBS. Peter raved about it.
Oh, let me tell you.
If you're in the owner's box, can you imagine the food you're going to consume?
It's a fantastic building.
And nobody is suggesting, please, that we're going to do, you know, 4 hours on Islander hockey.
No, we probably won't do a minute.
You know, I'm sure we could do a segment about just the arena and being
very
there.
Small.
Sure.
Very
but no, but it's just going to be football to talk about. The Giants win. We're going to be all in that, all the other football that's going on.
The Giants lost. We'll be taking calls from all the Giants fans who've jumped ship on Daniel Jones in the last 3 days. A lot
right,
to
let's
do.
Take a brief timeout because we have 10 about
how about this?
Next.
I'll be disgusted if we don't do it.
So would I. The fact that we could get you, I mean, this will be a couple of days in a row. He's going to go to Dingbats. Remember that? He already
oh, yeah, that's right.
Van Houten Avenue in Clifton. Come by, say hello.
There you go. And I'm getting word right now that there's an excellent chance that DiPietro will join us.
Well, I have a question. What about Dave Rothenberg?
I don't care about you know who else I want there as my guest?
Who's that?
Ray Santiago.
See, now we're talking. Now we're talking.
Oh, see,
this is
what?
Now team building is what we're doing.
Yeah,
we're talking about team
in a
building.
Great building.
I love this.
Yep.
I'm going to demand somebody be fired if we're not there on Wednesday.
Oh, don't, Don. It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Now it's time to bring in the great Mike Tannenbaum. Love having him on, and he's on right now. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Before we get into the serious stuff, Don LaGreca said earlier in the week that he considers you a friend. And I said, there's no way that Tannenbaum considers you a friend. You don't consider Don a friend, do you?
Absolutely. We go back to our days of Hempstead Turnpike, Long Island Marriott, him and Terry Bradway. So proud to be Don LaGreca's friend.
Right. Really? Wow.
Come on. So, like, why is that so difficult to believe?
Well, I got
to
ask the money question. God forbid, Mike. God forbid Don passes away. Are you at the funeral?
100%.
Oh,
wow.
Say wow.
Thank
you.
I guess I believe you most of the time.
I guess my question under the doctrine of reciprocity, would he be at mine?
He said he would if he was allowed. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it would be a closed doors family only thing, but if this was just where it would be open to the public, I would like to be there. I consider you a friend. And you know what? I say that without even, you know, knowing if you felt the same way, because I just like you, I get along with you, and I consider you a friend. And this is very nice to know that you reciprocate.
Nice.
I don't know why Mike has to be you know what stirrer with this.
That's who I am.
And Mike, I want you to know I'm very fond of you also, but I said I would not go. I don't think I'd be wanted. And I don't think you'd feel like going to mine. So,
you know, Peter, it's clear you and I are seeing other people. We're no longer exclusive.
All right, before we start with the weekend, I have to squeeze in the gangrene report brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. So, I'll ask the question I asked to Sal Powell. If you were once again the GM of the Jets, what do you said he'll spend, anything he has to spend to get a quarterback? What quarterback are you targeting? Who do you want to bring in?
Yeah, so that word quarterback is going to end in the letter S. We're going to get two of them because what I would do is try to win for today with somebody like Jimmy Garoppolo and develop for tomorrow, and I would draft somebody in the first three rounds, and, you know, we'll see how that plays out. I don't know if it'll be somebody in the first round, but whatever I get from Zach Wilson moving forward, guys, it's a freaking bonus. Like, we're not counting on anything, but I'm going to get two new quarterbacks, and I'm going to try to just put as many resources against that position as possible, and I'm never going to be held hostage by it again. So I'm thinking not only short-term but long-term. I mean, a guy like Garoppolo is a good winning quarterback. Obviously, there's been significant durability issues, guys, but that's why I'm going to go draft somebody else in addition to bringing him in.
Interesting. All right, so let's get to the games this weekend. You kind of surprised us earlier in the week with such certitude that you said the Giants are going to beat the Vikings. Why? Why do you feel so certain about that?
A number of reasons. Minnesota is last or near last in every meaningful defensive category. And while the Giants, you know, put more pressure on you horizontally than vertically, in the playoffs, guys, you have to build a team that you can get off the field. They can't get there with four. They can't play man-to-man on the back end. And that's really hard to have any sort of sustainability. And I think that's going to show up, if not this weekend against the Giants, certainly next weekend.
And the question is, can the Giants get to Cousins? Is it necessary for them to get to Cousins to slow this offense down?
I think it's about limiting their opportunities. I think you want to just give Kirk Cousins as few of opportunities as possible. And they can make enough plays, be it with their pass rush, or I think they tackle pretty well, that they can hold up enough where I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on Kirk Cousins to score touchdown after touchdown, because they're not going to have many opportunities. And when the opponent's out there, the Giants are going to make a lot of first downs. They're incredibly efficient, and I think it's a bad matchup for the Vikings.
Wow. Of the other games, what jumps out at you? Give me what you feel is a sure winner other than the Giants.
Well, you know, the obvious one would be obviously Buffalo and Cincinnati. It's remarkable, guys, including Brock Purdy. We're going to see three teams play possibly their third-string quarterback in Anthony Brown, Skylar Thompson, and Brock Purdy, which is remarkable. I think the other really interesting thing, and I heard Tony Dungy be the first to bring this up, Dallas is 1-4 in their last five games on the road on grass. If you think about it, grass is a way to slow down a pass rush. Tampa Bay plays on grass. And the thing about the way Dallas is built, guys, Dak Prescott's going to have to make plays in the passing game, get the lead, and then try to rush the passer. If he turns the ball over, I think Tampa Bay could certainly win this game.
Wow. What do you think happened in that game against Washington for Dallas, and does it carry over into the game coming up on Monday?
You know, my good friend Don, that's a great question. And I would tell you that Dak has thrown 8 interceptions in his last 5 games. I think that interception against Jacksonville was terrible. They're backed up. They're up 10. You can't throw a pick there. And he's playing poorly. I'm a big Dak guy. But, guys, he's just not playing good football. And if I'm Dallas, I'm really concerned. They're the better team against Tampa Bay, but he's got to get better in a hurry. If not, this season's going to come to a quick end.
But didn't the Buccaneers earn being 8-9? They weren't a really good team, Mike.
Yeah, the hard part for them to me, Mike, is the confluence of those injuries up front, be it, you know, the injuries, the defections and free agency retirement of Ali Marpet. But when you have Tom Brady, who's obviously older and not very mobile, with a diminished offensive line, that's what you're going to get. But look, for one game, he can hit a home run a couple of times. And that's why, to me, this game is very intriguing. And I think the margin for error is really small. Like, Dallas is not going to this game with house money. They're going to have to play a clean game for them to win.
Well, speaking of which, I think there's more pressure on them than anybody, because could you see Mike McCarthy surviving a loss in Tampa Monday?
Well, you know, not all losses are, you know, created equal. So if something happens like a TCU event where they get blown out, I think all bets are off. Now, with that said, this guy's won, you know, 24 regular season games the last 2 years, and that's not always easy to do, so we can't diminish that. But if they get blown out on a Monday night, first time ESPN has a national televised Monday night playoff game, you know, all bets are off. So I think them and Chargers are another situation to monitor, where if they have a terrible loss, I don't think Brandon Staley would be let go, but I wouldn't be shocked if he was either.
All right, so I'd like to note that Mike is going to be hosting with Dan Grosse on Bart and Hahn Monday, leading into the Knicks on Martin Luther King Day game, and he'll be recapping the Giants and the Vikings. Now, before I let you go, Mike, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, if I, God forbid, passed away, would you even spend second to stop your day and think about it, or would you go, oh, okay, and then just continue doing what you're doing?
Absolutely. I would be there. You know, hopefully I'd be invited, and, you know, hopefully that day doesn't come for a very long time. But without question, I would be there to pay my respects, and I would be honored to do so.
Yeah, you're a good friend, Mike. Thank you. You really are.
well, you know, like, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. I mean, you and Don, at least, you know, we know where we are.
Well,
with each
other. You know what? Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe I recall you're from Newton, Mass. Isn't that right, Mike?
Well, close. Needham, but...
I'm sorry. Even better. Needham, Mass. I feel like a Jewish man from Needham, Mass can have a great spread at your funeral.
Wow.
Without question. The people would be very well fed.
All right, fine. I'll be there.
All right. Enjoy the games this weekend, Mike.
All right, guys. Really appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.